Well, we are the number two podcast in the galaxy.
Yeah, we like to acknowledge the universe. You know, people say, number one show in the world. What about the galaxy? We don't just live in a world. We live in the Milky Way.
Please stick around. Get comfortable. Stick around for the show. Don't go, don't go, don't go.
Like, we brought you on because, like, we were going to talk about death, I guess. Like,
yeah.
And, like, I think, obviously, you know, politics is super important because, like, there's death by society, as Gabby mentioned, and, like, death by, like, the conscious realm that's more natural and transient, like, part of the soul's, like, experience on this earth.
Yeah.
And just understanding what, like, how to deal with death.
The idea of how to deal with death is an interesting one because I don't think a lot of people ever need to worry themselves about the event of death. What they have to worry about is the lack of human interaction with a certain individual again. Like, if it's their own death, it's the lack of life. You're not thinking about your death, you're thinking of the lack of not experiencing the world. And when you're thinking about somebody else's death, it's not that they die that is sad, you know, that's unfortunate, but it's them not being around anymore. Which I personally think are two very different emotions to go through. Although, then again, emotions for me is a bit of a hard one.
You want to tell the viewers what you mean by that?
So, there's a lot of people in the world that find it quite hard to deal with the interpretation of emotion, and that's both internally and externally. Although diagnosed sociopath is not a thing. Freudian slip.
That was bad. That was bad. You're scaring me, Richie. You're scaring me.
But there are a lot of things going around that deal with the inability or the misinterpretation to feel emotion. And so you go through a lot of different avenues to try and get to the same ending. And so I was saying the other day about a cryptex for a code. And so emotions you can read as code. It's very simple. You look at a word and most people say, that's the meaning of that word. But through a coded cryptex, you have to go through different letters to get to each one of the letters in the word. So emotions filter through me in as cryptex. They come out as something different to how most people would perceive the situation. And I have to sort of do a little mental set of acrobatics to lead to where you're meant to be, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. So did you learn a lot by having the same situation, like someone like me, right? I feel really deeply, and something that happens, the same thing happens to both of us, and you see how I react. Are you very attentive to how people who feel deeply react, and you kind of take that in and try to add that to your formula of how to react or how to feel?
Yes, absolutely. And that's actually one of the reasons that I get along so well with you, and people like me get along so well with people like you, because it's like a very easy to read situation. It's like reading a picture book. Not, I don't want to sound disheartening, but it is, because it's so very obvious what you're feeling and thinking all of the time. And so it helps a lot, and it makes other people feel good to know. The lack of knowing is quite distressing for a lot of people.
That's very true. That's very true. I think a lot of our social interaction, we're always like afraid of what are other people doing or thinking or how are they responding. Like, you know, you constantly hear about like mirroring people, you know, like when you like, just, I don't know, but that is really cool. So do you think you attract people that are emotionally open than not?
Yes, 100%. I think in the vast scheme of things, emotionally open people seek out other emotionally open people. But sometimes it's quite toxic because it's just everything's out there, everything is on the table, and it can be swept away like that. But definitely for more emotionally and socially incapable people, we seek out people like you, over the top emotionally, not over the top, but very open emotionally. Because for one, it works really well, and two, it's enjoyable. I think that my sort of people, my emotional type, don't get on with each other because, like, nothing gets said. It really works for living with people that you don't need to be friends with, but that's about it.
That's funny.
Do you ever think that person's too much? Because maybe a situation that you think is so little might feel a lot, and that might be a lot for that person. Do you ever get that it's like, oh my gosh, chill out, Gabby. It's just a bird flying in the sunset. You don't have to cry right now, you know, or something. Do you ever get annoyed?
I think you can definitely take it that way, but it's not what I choose to do, because I think how you react to something is a choice. Because that's how I deal with things. But I never get annoyed when you're overtly ecstatic about something, or overtly sad, or overtly emotional in any sense, because it's nice to see emotion. It proves that we're still human and we're doing things.
A person who knows their own, like, emotional intelligence and their process is different from the average humans. What advice would you give to someone who is open? You know, like, I constantly am like, cool, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, also, like, it took me 15 more minutes, like, to get online with you because I physically couldn't talk. Like, I was so emotional. Yeah. I, like, physically couldn't. I couldn't think. I still can't think. I'm still very processing what I was processing an hour ago. But what would your advice give to, like, there are people who will take advantage of that, you know, like your emotional vulnerability. Most people are attracted to it because they're, again, not used to it, and they're like, this is kind of fun, you know what I mean? And, like, people can get
for the first bit, and then after a while they're like, oh, this is too much.
It's like, it's natural for us and it's natural for a lot of people,
but
reaching the people who aren't like that, I guess. So I don't know, how do you give advice for someone who is emotional, who wants to portray that but also wants to, like, understand you're working with the world, and as a political economist, the world's pretty cynical, you know what I mean? And will step over you, like, will take that on and use it to their advantage.
Yeah. I think my only advice, and it may come across as I'm criticizing being emotionally open, but I would say that you should try and pick your battles, choose what you invest yourself in. Although everything in the world you receive, and then that provokes an emotion, choose what you let yourself think about too much, because a lot of people aren't worth the emotional strife, and a lot of things aren't worth the emotional strife. If it's something that makes you joyful and happy, then embrace it and indulge in it. Mm-hmm. But don't indulge in the negative emotion when it's not needed. Indulge in the negative emotion when it is needed, but it's important to figure out what's needed and what's not, what is important in life.
Yeah, that's good advice. I'm still figuring it out. Like, I still am very aware. I'm like, cool, like, I feel this, but I need to put it away. You know what I mean? Like, I need to talk to Richie right now. I need to talk to Gabby right now. Like, gotta put it away. I don't want to, like, not talk to someone because I'm so sad or because I'm so angry. So, I think that's pretty good advice. I'm still figuring that out. And I think a lot of people are figuring that out.
And I think people spend their entire lives figuring it out.
And so, like, I think
closer and closer they get, and the more happy they'll be.
As humans, we desire empathy from other humans. You know, and we seek that, and in a world where I think the world now doesn't seem to be portraying that.
So, it's not a good place we're in at the world at the moment. And I would argue that we are in the best place we have ever been as a species. We are constantly improving, and
That's a very positive thing to say. Like, you lose sight of all the time. It's like, we are right now in the best time to innovate, in the best time to talk, in
the best living standards, as a general rule, are the best they have ever been in history.
Technology, everything right now. Like, I think humans, like, okay, cool, we've reached this, we have these things, we've accomplished all this, but I think we're still so stuck in not understanding that, like, well, we have so much power to do so much, why aren't we doing it?
An interesting thought that might or may or may not interest you is that when humanity tended to only live you know, in their life expectancy was until their 40s or their 50s or their 60s. Although things are a lot worse, do you think there is a chance that people were generally happier? Because people always say, in the old days, people were happier. And as humans have grown older and older, but also not able to work from the normal age that people would used to die, around 50 or 60, now they are just sat around doing nothing for the last 30 years of their life.
Yeah, people, I think what you're asking goes back to like ignorance. People couldn't like talk to people across the pond right now, like the way we are, and like discuss in World War II, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you could call someone, but like, no, people, I think it's like ignorance. It's just ignorance is bliss. And that's why like, I'm low key, like regressing. Like I'm forward and I'm like, the last interview we had was with Will when he was just like, just stop thinking. He was just like, regress to your old, just your natural state of being. And like, appreciate the ignorance, what you have, because you just know so much. You know what I mean? You have so much to think about. You know you're going to think about it for the rest of your life. So take a stop and just ignore it. You know what I mean? So I think that's like ignorance. People back in the day were happier because people did not have the information that they have right now. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah. I think...
When people are like, things used to be better. That's what they mean, is that they didn't have to worry about this, or they weren't constantly like... sitting down and delving with this stuff that's going on.
Well, I think it's because they had bigger things to worry about. Instead of existentialism and reality and time, they, apart from the few who, you know, made educational and academic improvements and philosophized, generally people were just happy living and surviving to an age where they can care for their kids and their kids can go on living. Those were bigger things to people. But now the big questions aren't, yeah, how do I survive to my next meal? There are, for a lot of people, they have thousands and thousands of people around the world, but there's a more of an intelligentsia middle class that have been able to think more about more extreme things, which I think is incredible. I'm really enjoying our time period. I wouldn't have wanted to be born any other time, apart possibly from the Renaissance, because they were cool. But
apart from what?
The Renaissance.
Renaissance. Don't we say Renaissance?
I mean, you're wrong, but it's
Renaissance.
Yeah, Renaissance. Renaissance Fair, not Renaissance Fair.
Well, I'm pretty sure you did live during that time, and it's probably in your soul.
Yes.
To remember it, but didn't you live during the 1950s?
Somebody lived up until the 1950s, and I can sometimes recollect parts of that person's life.
So I was doing a Buddhism paper, and that's when I met Richie Walker, and we started talking. We just like talk a lot, blah, 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 a lot of stuff that we can't fit right now. It comes up, how did the city even come up in our conversation? I don't remember, Richie. But
neither do I, honestly.
Yeah, right? But I somehow got Richie to tell me that when he was 16, he had a heart attack. And what happened, Richie?
Well, what happened was that when I had this heart attack, I felt something end within my body. I felt death's embrace, and after a couple of minutes my heart started beating up and back again. I achieved consciousness again. It was fantastic.
Love it.
But that was a lifetime apart, those couple of minutes. What happened in the meantime was that I experienced this guy who, for the longest time, I called him Ben Benzi, and because his name, as I now remember it, as a dream comes flooding back to you after the event. His name was Gary Benson, and his friends called him Benzi. And so he grew up in the States, weirdly enough. I still can't quite tell where, but it was in the north. It was a northern state because it was cold.
I thought you said in California first. So how are you kind of figuring out the past memories, and how do you distinguish that from the truth, and then what fogged you up?
I find a lot of times it's hard to distinguish between dreams and reality anyway. but you often attribute, or you often fill in parts of your mind and your memories with things that make sense to you, but that doesn't necessarily mean they actually happened. So originally I thought that this guy lived in California, but that's because I've been to California. And that's something that I could place my memory's version of, or Gary Benson's memory of America with my personal experience of America. And so I gelled those two together.
Yeah.
But now it's Minneapolis, Maine, somewhere like that, that's a bit colder, wow. A bit more gray. But I experienced his whole life. And I lived an actual full life up until Gary was in his 60s. And then he died with two kids and a wife. The kids and a wife didn't die as well. It was just him, as far as I'm aware. Died in the 1950s. And then as he dies, I woke up, but it felt like I was then dreaming. It felt like when I came back to Richie Walker, living in 2014 or something, it felt like this was it. This was the DMT dream of death that I was going to experience until I ran out of life as Gary Benson, and then I would be done. But you know, I'm now 8 years on, still experiencing it. So maybe it is just a whole fever dream, but I prefer not to believe that.
So what was your conception of time where you left your body and lived someone else's time? And in this real world, what was it, 2 or 3 minutes?
Yeah, it was about 2 or 3 minutes in the real world. And in
reality.
Big old air quotes around that.
That's I like that. I like that you first distinguished, like, cool, like, there's a different timelines in terms of the universe, but also when you said you lived another life, what does that mean to you? Like, did you live, meaning you lived as happiness, you lived as sadness, you lived as events, like, what, like, usually, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like everyone's right now, but like living in someone's shoes is like their emotion, like what they're carrying, what they're experiencing. So what do you mean by you lived their life? What are your memories? Are they just showing you snapshots of this person's life and how they
snapshots is a good way to put it, actually, but it's more of that. I don't know if either of you or anybody listening to this will have watched Inside Number 9, but it's a fantastic show made by the BBC, and one of their episodes revolves around this snapshotting of life. But it's not that you experience whole days and whole months sometimes, but it's the important things that happen within that time frame. And so I sat down to dinner talking to my family and eating this chicken casserole, and it was delicious and I could taste it. It was a really good memory. And then the next thing you remember is being on the sports field, but you kind of spend that split second wondering, how did I get here? Oh yeah, we're playing sports. And then you're doing that. It's like when you get deja vu when waking life and you think, wait a minute, what's going on? A potential theory is that somewhere down the line, somebody else has experienced you experiencing that. That's why you're getting the deja vu. So maybe every time I snapshotted into George Benson, Gary Benson's life, he had a little bit of deja vu.
Yeah, but you're still, like, living in his timeline, you know what I mean? Yeah, maybe he might be dead, but like, no, yeah, you're right. That timeline still existed. It happened. You know what I mean? It's still an encapsulated timeline somewhere in the universe, and you're just like taking sneak peeks into it. But that's
why, yeah,
technically that. So it's just like the weird mesh between that timeline and yours.
Well, it's an interesting differentiation, because I would argue that time is happening right now, constantly. Every moment in time is happening right now. So it's, although potentially, yeah, it's a different timeline, it's not a different time. You just experience it all at once. Every moment is continuously happening. It's just the movement in space, or the movement through space, that creates the perception of time.
Mm-hmm.
So is that your explanation to how you can go back to the mid-1900s and experience that? That's like what really happened here. Do you think your soul was going back to its other bodies and saying, all right, this is the last body before then. Let me go back to Gary Benson's memories and like have that DMT death trip? Or do you think your soul was transporting to the present time, 1940s, 50s, and experiencing Gary's life in the present? Or was he experiencing Gary's memories?
That's a very good question. I thought for a long time that it was jumping back into an old body. You know, the idea of reincarnation, that was just who I was last. And reincarnation can happen throughout time, which is why it does make sense, even though, like, in Hindu philosophy, you imagine this idea of reincarnation where actually there weren't as many people back then as there are now. You know, there are 8 billion people on the planet. How do we account for all of the new lives that are happening? But you just have to say, well, life can happen at any moment. And so only a couple of million people got to experience life 5,000 years ago, and 8 billion souls are able to experience life now. But I don't think it's that. I don't think it's returning to a former life.
Okay.
I believe the idea of consciousness is created by a lot of chemical and biological reactions in the brain. We very actively know how we create consciousness in our own heads, but that doesn't mean that it's something non-ethereal as well. Right? The idea of like quantum mechanics and everything popping in and out of existence at every moment, and some theorize that that's popping between parallel dimensions.
Yeah.
And so that's how I would argue my consciousness slipping from one timeline to another, at the timeline, as you say. So that's how I experienced a life at another time. One, because time is happening instantaneously all of the time. Consciousness dips in and out of this reality. That's how I believe that happened.
So reality must have been really fuzzy for you after. Were you?
Yes.
Like, obviously your family's like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm so happy you're alive, Richie. And then you're like, wait, like, am I Richie now? And then when you went to dream, were you dreaming about Richie or were you dreaming about Gary Benson, living Gary Benson's life? Can you explain the dichotomy of reality that you were living in after?
Yeah, it felt like a waking dream for weeks afterwards. And I didn't dream in those couple of weeks. I didn't have any dreams. I closed my eyes, I opened them again, and in that blink of a second, it was the morning. And that's how I existed for a couple of weeks before I got to terms with the idea that actually enough time's passed now. I am in my sense of reality. But it was so fuzzy before that. It felt like nothing I did mattered, and I was just going to meander aimlessly through life.
So you felt like
it wasn't life.
So you felt you were, you just said you're going to aimlessly meander through life.
Yeah.
Wow. So how does that, imagine if I like one day woke up, it's like, wow, I'm alive right now. But I think I'm just going to wander through life. That's cool. That's really interesting. When you dream, did you ever dream of him?
Yes. Later on, after I'd sort of gone to terms with Richie, I started dreaming of Benson again. And some of them were memories from the event and some of them were not, either if that's just my interpretation of dreams of him, or I don't know. But yeah, I've dreamt of him a lot, and I've dreamt of my own life in a weird, sick, twisted reality.
Do you ever feel his emotions? Like, do you feel like the sadness he felt in an event or the happiness he felt in an event? Like, do you feel that genuinely?
The one emotion I hold on to is looking at Gary's family through Gary's last breaths.
Mm.
Because that was a sort of heartwarming, overwhelming joy that I've never experienced in my life apart from when I'm thinking about that. So I've got nothing to equate it to. I'm not putting that emotion on something else that's happened in my life. I'm just experiencing that through him.
That's really interesting.
Do you know how he passed away?
Cancer.
How do you know? Like, what was one of the things back him in the hospital? And...
I can't give you any definitive answer of how I know. I just know. I remember going to hospital. I remember being in hospital, but I don't remember why I was there. But I remember knowing that was it. I was not going to get better.
So when Jared died, you said you felt the embrace of death, or like when you were dying, like when you had the heart attack, you experienced
what was Richie feeling?
So when Gary died, you know, so this is I'm talking about the 2 minutes in between your death experience. So you feel the embrace of death, you're having a heart attack, and then you experience a lifetime, and then the lifetime is about to end, and you know it's ending because of cancer. How does that feel? Like, you know what I mean? How does it feel to die and then return to reality at the same time? Like, I'm asking about that. Yeah, that specific. Yeah. You were like, whoa, I'm coming back to life. Like, I'm breathing. I'm like, my heart's restarting. You're like returning to life, but someone is dying within your...
Life and death happen at the same time? That's a great question.
Like, what did you feel? What just are some basic words you can explain? So like, what was that?
So logically, I felt confused. Mm-hmm. But emotionally, I felt nothing. Absolutely nothing for the longest time as well. I'm talking years. Because when you're talking about like the time dilation of the fact that 2 minutes occurred and then the whole lifetime was perceived, nothing really matters after that. You experienced a full and happy life, and then you've got another one to deal with. And you're still only 16, and then you turn 18, and you're like, oh, I can drink in pubs. And I did that for the next 2 years. And then I went to university, and I met people that started to make me feel like it was worth putting an effort into this life again, because it doesn't matter if I've already done it once, I want to do it again. And then you meet lovely people like yourselves who draw the best out of you. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Well, yeah, that's why when you would tell me and be like, hey, like, what was the candle analogy? What's that classic candle analogy?
Oh, it's twice as bright, half as long.
Yeah. And I'm like, Richie, I want to see you again. Can you not do that? Like I want to see you again. That's not fair to me. Like,
yeah. I know, but it is a selfish thing. That's what it is. It's a selfish thought. But after experiencing what seems like a lifetime, something within you says that you deserve to be a bit selfish now. You've got a life for yourself again. But realistically, what's happening is life has given you a second chance, and you should make the most out of it instead of being selfish. So I'm still kind of trapped between those two ideologies of twice as bright, half as long, and living a full life.
Yeah, well, this topic hits heavy for us. And
yeah, I am sorry.
Anna, does this give you hope? Like, how do you feel?
I think it's just like you saying, like, this life is like worth it.
Life is so worth it. It's the biggest chance that we get.
It's just so hard, like, every day, like, just to live.
Yeah.
And when you're like you said, it's just like constantly thinking about everything, and like the world is so messed up.
Yeah.
Bro, Anna, maybe we're new souls and we're new to this body and we don't know how it works, and we just feel things and we don't know where they come from, and we're really sensitive to all these like feelings and thoughts, and you know, and maybe we're really new to this, and that's why it's overwhelming.
Actually, quite a good point. It fits into the fact that, you know, when people didn't think about these things, there were less people on the planet, and now there are more people on the planet, there's got to be some new souls out there. And a lot of people say, oh, he's an old soul, he's a young soul, because they react to things differently. So, yeah, you're just little newbies, you're babies to the world.
No, yeah, like, I've told Gabby for the past week, like, I feel like I've been dying every night. Like, every night I die. And, like, I'm just, why am I dying? Like, but why does it feel, like, so right? Like, why does it feel like I, like, it feels like I just feel it's coming, and I just feel so natural.
It is natural. It's the most natural part of life.
I just, like, start, like, crying because I get, like, happy thinking about it. I'm like, I'm just like, whoa, like, this is what's supposed to happen. But, like, then, like, I stop, and then I just want to start, like, kicking and screaming. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm a newborn. You know what I mean? Like, after I'm done having that really intense moment every single night, it's always at dusk, I, like, feel like I'm dying. Like, I feel just that natural wave of, you know, when you die, it's, like, a huge wave of endorphins. Like, I feel my body's, like, so ready for that. It's, like, waiting to accept that wave of endorphins and, like, move on. But then after that, it, like, subsides. Like, I take, like, a few breaths. Like, I talk to someone, or, like, I try to be, like, oh, this is happening. This happened yesterday. Like, move forward. Yeah. But then after that, after I, like, chill out and, like, calm down and come back to my reality, I just want to kick and scream. Like, I just want to, like, just yell and exert so much energy, and it feels like I'm boring. And so I don't know what that is, but it's just, like, you saying, like, life is worth it. Every single night, I'm like, yes, like, this is finally it. Like, I get to.
Yeah.
Like, I finally get to go, and it's just, like, I don't know, it's, like. Sounds so suicidal, but who is it? You know what I mean? Like, who doesn't, like, so fucked up, but, like, it's really fucked up. It's a heavy subject, but, like, it's, like, selfishness, and then, like, your genuine desire to, like, experience, like, something that you know is, like, coming. I don't know, like, why is it such a weird desire? Not desire of mine, but just feels it. I feel it all the time. I don't know.
It feels right to you.
So right, I don't know.
Yeah. How, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 20, what, 23.
So, technically, you're approaching the fourth version of you.
I'm experiencing, like, a progression. If that's what someone told me I was experiencing. Or, like, you're experiencing a progression, meaning you're getting rid of who you were in your, for 20 years of your life, and you're going into the next 10, 20 years of your...
Yeah, I mean, actually, you're only replacing what's happened in the last 7 years of your life. You're an entirely new person from what you were then, both mentally and physically.
Yeah, that's exactly what someone told me. So I'm like, okay, cool. This is, I am dying. I am dying.
Yeah.
It's just like a death that's very different, but it's so hard because when you're on the media and you're on the news, you see people dying. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
You're like, this isn't what I want. Like, I don't want to leave this earth. Like,
I mean, you have a weird juxtaposition of emotion of acceptance. Because that's fantastic. It's your subconscious or something telling you that, yeah, you're okay to move on to the next stage of your life because this one's down. But
yeah.
You're still overwhelmed with emotion. And I cannot imagine what that's like.
Yeah, my body's telling me it's time to do something. I don't know what it is. But that's why I'm just like, so, I don't know. It's just, you know so much and your mind is like, what's going on? What are you doing? What's going on? But yeah, that's sort of an experience. So like, it really fucking started calling me. Like, life is worth living.
Well, it took you, how many, you said it took a lot of years for you to even come to that idea, Richie.
Yeah.
Smokey's like a cig. You're like,
it is a cig. Everyone, people in England roll their own tobacco. This is drug-free zone.
Come on now, filters. This is tobacco.
It's just like, yeah. Yeah, just like that was a lot of emotion I needed to exert out because I would tell people, I'd be like, I'm dying. They're like, what do you mean? Like, no one understood. Like, I told so many people and they were all like, oh, I'm so sorry, you're just going through that. Like, no one understood what I said. And you were, just like, life is worth living.
It bloody is.
It's worth living.
It's the best thing that we have.
Feeling happy is like a great feeling. And like, feeling love is a great feeling. And like, why not desire that? You know, it's just like, live in the present and like not, you know, like you said, indulge in the sadness when you need to indulge in
when you need to, yeah.
And be like, okay, cool, now it's time to feel other emotions, you know, like just saying, like just processing and then keep moving. I think that's a big theme that a lot of people are going to take away. It's just,
you know, yeah, as Gabby was saying about things being magic, we are the most magic things in the world, because things like love and happiness don't exist in the world. They don't exist in the universe. We are the only ones who experience it as we understand it. So we should really, really enjoy them, and we should take care to make sure we experience as much of it as we can in our lives and pass it on to the people that will come after us.
Yeah, Anna, I know it's like, it hurts, but we have the magic of emotions. And yes, we feel the negative ones really deeply, but then we have that advantage of feeling the really happy ones like really intensely. And we got to take advantage of that intense feeling. I mean, every time I'm feeling low, I'm like, wait, I'm going to feel high soon. I'm going to feel that high of an emotion after that low. You know, so I always try to think about it like that.
Yeah, I have a bipolar disorder, so like I have extremes just normally, so yeah. For me to feel so intense and then feel like nothing at all at the same time, so yeah, it's just like, I think it's just like us letting it out and be like, whoa, like you feel this, other people feel this, you know what I mean, like other people feel this, like the death of emotion. And like, you know, not, I wish I was a sociopath. I wish I was you. We filter what just happened, this breakdown I just had, like, via camera. You know what I mean? Like, you're able to do that. Like, I can't, because it's just, like, it's just so natural. It feels so right. And it feels like it's nothing.
I would love to say that I want to experience emotions like you, but I'd be lying if I said I did. I'm happy at you, every mellow.
Likewise, ditto. I don't experience it, but I do. It's just like, you know, it's just like, why do we talk about this? Like, why do we do this? It's just, you know, like people experience death. And when you see someone die, like that stays with you. Or when you die, that stays with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, we're the close. I got closest to the thing that's like, we don't know what happens after. You know what I mean? Like you got, because ever, that's the biggest question any religion, any person asks themselves. It's like, what happens after death? You know, live a life so that after death you can go to heaven. Or, you know what I mean? Like, those are questions people ask themselves and they seek to religion to talk to. But after death and you actually experience it, you're like, well, this is something else. Like, what is this? And, like, you just, like, really want to go to the light because you want to find out what it is. Like, but you're still alive. You know what I mean? You're like, get out of my body to go do that. But you know, the soul and the mind are just so much more expansive than what your body restricts it and what it allows you to feel. And I constantly say that, I'm like, by our human body, that we can't experience what the universe is trying to tell you, or like what energy is around you. I don't know, that's kind of how I experience it.
Yeah, well, the universe and the energy in it basically form the answer of what happens after you die. Everything happens after you die. The world carries on, the universe carries on, the energy within it still includes you. You're still in the universe. You don't go anywhere. Reality moves forwards constantly because that's what the universe does, and we are always a part of it. But for a very small amount of time are we conscious of a lifetime of it. And so we should do our best to enjoy the time that we are given to enjoy existence as we know it.
I feel like in the instance here, we almost have the free will to make the decisions of how we want to react, what we want to do. But like what you said before, in a dream, you're kind of just placed there and you go along with it. So that's really interesting how that subconscious in dreams and in that other realm, it's controlled by who knows what. But here I actually feel like this free will, whatever free will we have, I'm in power of it, and I could really control my own decisions right now.
Interesting. Yeah, sure.
I like taking reign of the universe instead of trying to like figure it out, like see how you can harness it with your mind, because, you know, as we said, our mind is so much more powerful than our body is limited to. Like, I think we could do that. I think that's a great perspective to have.
Yeah, definitely. Would I be able to take a 1 minute break whilst I get a charger for this?
Yeah, please do.
Reconvene.
Whoa, commercial break. This is perfect time for our commercial break.
You may hate it, but really I think it's
today we're gonna be I don't know, we don't have a commercial break, but whoever wants to sponsor us, that would be really cool. We talk about everything before and after death and life and everything in between. So anything, I guess that really covers everything in the world, right? So we can sponsor anything if you would like us to.
That's a vibe.
Isn't that interesting that Gary Benson died of cancer?
And he's a Sagittarius.
Sagittarius?
Yeah.
I hope I don't know, that gives you hope that of other realities for your sister, you know?
Because that's constantly what I'm doing. It's very funded.
I know. And that's what we're always constantly doing, like with dreams. I don't know if you've had contact with her in dreams, but I know that's the only way I can contact my dead friend Jackie, you know, and that's the only place where her human form or wherever, whatever takes up, whatever form she's in, I could feel it and see it and know it's Jackie, even though it doesn't look like her human form.
Yeah, like that Mac Miller poem I wrote. It's always about that Mac Miller poem I wrote. It's like, the other dude never dies.
Richie Walker, and it's like, thank you for living life, Richie. You showed so much, and your story is like the base for a lot of theories I have for the world.
Fantastic. Oh, I'm really glad to hear that.
I mean, just taking dreams differently, taking bodies and soul, you know, it proposes more questions than answers for me. It's not like I'm like, I know how the universe works now, Richie, thanks. You know, it's not like that, but it's like, yeah. Oh shoot, this is more than just, oh, died for 2 minutes. Oh, he came right back. We got him. Richie's back. Like, it's not like with the movies. it's not like that. And that would be cool to have a movie.
Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah. Copyright strike. I think it's far more liberating to have questions than to have answers, because when somebody's sure of what happens in the universe and what they're sure of the theories of how the reality works, then what are you going to do? Go play bowling. Done.
Smoke steak.
Exactly. That's when you know too much, and then what else are you going to ponder about?
Yeah.
I mean, no.
That's how people get into football. Sorry, soccer.
Oh, I love soccer.
I love soccer too.
Damn it.
But do you want to, Anna, I don't know if Richie heard, but do you want to share with Richie why this story like hits really dark, like deeply home to you, or do you want me to, or?
Oh yeah. When I was 16, my younger sister died.
I'm incredibly sorry to hear.
Of cancer, and her sister was a Sagittarius like you.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, so it just, I don't know, that's interesting synchronicity between the two. It's like, I know it was cancer, you know, and something that Anna experienced and saw that whole timeline of someone else's life. It just means a lot to know, like, maybe her soul was dispersed into other people, you know, and into another world, you know, maybe she's getting these memories. Like, why do I love everyone named Anna and all Pisces, you know, like, why, you know, like, maybe she's getting these memories of her old family and doesn't know what to do with them. Or it says, why do I feel this love with, you know, with these people in my memories? There's hope. It just gives me hope. I don't know.
Yeah. No, absolutely. With time not being linear, when we pass, our consciousnesses will just go into other people's dreams at a very base level. And so across the world, millions of people every night have a little sparkle of the ones that we lose. I believe.
Yeah. So do you think that's from memories or just from people being in like the dream realm? Like, can that happen with people I don't know? Or is it like my memories, like for example, my memories with my friend that passed away, Jackie, I see her in the dream realm and we talk in the dream realm. Are you talking about people I know or people that's just around?
Kind of both. Your mind and that subconscious element obviously finds its home where it feels most comfortable. And so you will experience a lot more of your friends and the family that you lose rather than some random guy in India who got hit by a truck. But you're still going to have elements of everybody in the world constantly in who you are, because that's how you're constructed in the universe. You are made out of everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, wow. I mean, recycled matter, which is recycled matter.
Yeah. In the best way possible.
Yeah, the most like basic form possible. Yeah, best and most like simplest form. Yeah, it's rough. It's just like, yeah, it's just like, again, like I said, just when people get close to death, it's like really fucks you. It really like just like,
yeah,
it's like you trying to understand something you can't. Yeah, so yeah, that's why like it hits home to me. It's just like, because I did go through that, like you know, everyone's gone through their own thing that makes them spark, be like, whoa, this makes me question life, this makes me question everything around me.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like I one time asked Gabby, I was like, wait, what was going through the mind of these, like, of like Aristotle and like Socrates or like Plato? I'm like, what's going on through the mind? And Gabby's like, well, they were living through their Greek tragedy, and they completely forgot about that. I was like, oh, yeah, they were living through a Greek tragedy. And I was like, oh, well, the world is now living through its own Greek tragedy. And so like, that's why philosophers did ponder about death. And like, asked all these questions, and they would ask all these people on the meanings of life, because they were experiencing all that death. So as like, so many people in the world are dying right now, you know, and like, just more than average due to what's going on and just everything else. It's why like, this stuff is even more prevalent now. It's like, whoa, this is modern day philosophy, this is modern day, like, let's talk about this. And you know, just be like, hey, everyone else is feeling that, and everyone, you know.
So when you were learning about the 1930s, like the time that you lived, I guess, where you lived in,
yeah,
the beginning of the 1900s, when you were learning that in history class, was it familiar to you? Did it feel like deja vu? Like, what did that feel? How did you connect? That's what also confuses me. It's like, how did you know it was that time period? And how is it so clear to you?
Yeah.
Like, it was interesting because when I look back at things like the Industrial Revolution in England and looking at World War One, it doesn't spark anything because obviously Gary Benson wasn't part of the Industrial Revolution in England, or he wasn't in World War One either. But it was, it's hard because I didn't learn about American early 20th century history until I came to university. And by then I already had more of an idea of where it was set historically anyway. But then going to, I went to a lecture about New York and the creation of the Big Fat Off Park. What's it called?
Empire State Building?
No. Big Fat Off Park.
Central Park?
Central Park. Thank you very much. I did a whole module on that. Couldn't you remember the name? But that gave me sort of more of an idea. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, no. Now I'm remembering things a little better. And then another year down the line, I go, that's why I know it more, because I recognize the types of entertainment that we would use, the types of clothes that we would wear, the types of people that you would meet, and the sentimentality of the time was much more apparent to me than, you know, studying history at any other point. It's incredibly lucky that I do study history to any extent, because it gives me more of an idea of what to compare it to.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Well, I mean, do you think that's why you were drawn through history and politics? Because it's something that's instinctual to you and you've lived through already. Do you think that's the ability?
It's possible, but I don't think it's entirely to blame, because I spent my entire life being interested in history, and potentially you could argue because time is not linear, and I was interested at a very young age because I knew that I would have to have that interest later in life. Very possible.
So before you were 16, did you
experience... I was 15.
Oh, you're 15. Okay.
No, sorry. I was trying to be funny. Carry on.
Okay. You're so funny. All right. So before you were 16?
Yes.
Did you experience emotions similarly to after the incident, or do you think that disconnection to your body made you sociopathic?
Yeah, as I say, no such thing as a diagnosed sociopath, but the tendencies that come with it 100% started after the event. Before, I was a very incredibly emotional child. Like, when I was 11, I burst into tears at a fair just because the guy who was running one of the stalls said something that I took really personally, and I felt overwhelming emotion. And in the playgrounds in school, massively emotional. And I felt big love for everybody in my life, but that kind of all got dulled or suppressed after the event.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow. Did you, now when you, you told me that you went to, like, therapist, and, like, did they say that this event was that first event that started those feelings, or did they say, like, no, this is biological, it's just in you?
I didn't tell most of the therapists I talked to about the event because I didn't want it to be put down as a proper nutter until later on in life. I'd much prefer to talk to a medical professional rather than a therapist.
Okay.
So. Yeah, just to discuss the specific symptoms you're feeling. So do you think you would ever do that now? Do you do that now? Like,
Yeah, it took me a couple of years, actually more like 4 years after the event, to... Everything that was suppressed for a long time came out over the course of about a month, and then it went back to normal again. So I know, obviously, bipolar is just these huge waves of emotion. Mine was sort of like an exponential graph and then a harsh cutoff, and then an exponential graph and a harsh cutoff. So everything starts off when I reset myself so, so dull and suppressed. And then I feel more and more and more and more and more over a very short period of time. And then there's usually either a breakdown or, more recently, an epiphany. And the epiphanies are nicer.
Let's hear that then. That's congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It's just what I want to do with my life. It's given me a sense of direction.
That's beautiful.
Which, weirdly enough, ties into history, because I want to learn as much as I can about revolutionary history and write about that and teach about that.
Really? Oh, you want to teach?
Yeah, I'm starting a master's this year, and hopefully after that I'll go on to do a PhD. Universities, look out, here I come.
At Chichester?
I don't know if I could lecture here, to be honest.
No,
I like it.
Your education at Chichester?
Oh, I see. That's one of the possibilities. London, Brighton, Bristol, or Chichester.
Interesting. Well, Anna and I are going to have a business trip to England soon. I'd love to meet you. So we'll
I'll mark the date in my book. I don't have a book, but I'll get a book, and then I'll mark a date in it.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Is there any questions that you want to, or something that you want to tell the kids back home, Richie?
Well, I've got a question for you, Gabby. You were saying how a lot of things that we talked about helped inform you of what questions to ask in the universe. And I was just interested, after we parted ways, what sort of questions did you have about the universe? What molded how you perceive reality now?
Well, that's a really, really good question. I think number one was magic, and intention was really important for me. So remember when we were playing with cards, Richie? I try to explain this to people, and it's like, it just like sounds fake. So it's really hard because you're the only person.
I've entirely forgotten about that. Yeah.
Cards that made me think I'm magic, because I would literally just say, I would believe that I'm going to know Richie's card. Even if I'm not even strategically like counting the cards. I was just like, my intention was believing and knowing I'm going to find the card. I swear, I guessed the card like 4 to 5 times in a row. Yep. And it would just come out of the deck. I would just be randomly shuffling differently.
Very poorly shuffling. And it would just explode out onto the table. Just one card.
It would just like come up and you'd be like, wait, Gabby, what? You know, or remember once, and then like the last time, I'm like, Richie, it's not coming to me. I don't know what it is. Can you just do it to me? And I would make, because Richie, you didn't tell me your secret, but you actually were doing something in your mind with a card, right? You had a trick.
Yeah.
I didn't have one. I was like, you know, let me play this magic game with you.
I think it's interesting that you were doing probably exactly the same thing I was, just subconsciously and through the pull of the universe rather than my own intentional construct.
Exactly. And when I didn't believe in it, I was like, wait, I don't feel it. I don't know your card, Richie. Can you do it to me? I picked the card that Richie initially picked. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah. You couldn't find my card, but you could pick it out from when I had asked you to do it. So it was odd. It's that little cosmic delay.
Exactly. And then remember, and then another time, another day, one of the last days we were in your conservatory, I was like shuffling the cards, and then I put them all out, and it was just like every single card in a row. It was like the ace to the 12, and it was like every single card just like in order.
Yeah, numerical. Yeah,
order. And I have that picture because I'm like, oh my gosh, and you're like there chilling with the cards, and I have that picture.
Weirdly enough, I was looking at that picture 10 minutes before we started today.
Oh yeah, just getting back into that mindset.
Because as I brought up on Facebook, and just the little pictures that we shared comes up in the bottom right corner, I was like, oh yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, you taught me to like intention, and there's magic in the universe, and even if we don't know how, or I can't explain how, it's still there. You have to still believe in it, even if you don't know the formula or don't know why.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's, you showed me a lot of things that were unexplainable, and I don't know, I was really deep into death when I was in England, and I would be looking up like how to contact the dead and all this stuff, and I wanted to know answers, but you kind of taught me like you don't even know the mechanisms behind it. It's just know that it's there. Know that I live someone else's lives in 2 minutes of Earth time. I was doing something else, and I don't know how, but I like to trust that. And it helped me also like trust people's experiences.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I'm glad.
Trust and emotion. I think it's so, so important. But that's exactly why one of the first things I asked you was like, wait, I can trust people to talk about this stuff, but like, I also can't, you know what I mean? Like, but I think that was, like, I like what you said about intention, and like it was just trust and intention is like trusting your instinct and trusting what you believe in.
Yeah, you're,
if you trust yourself and you trust others, then it'll work out perfectly. Like Gabby trusted you, and then the cards just came out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, what, like this person easily like just trusting to the universe, like it can just work out like that. And it does.
It absolutely does. There's some inbuilt nature of like that gut instinct, or something that just makes us sense what should be right. And I tell a lot of people to trust that, because it matters so much in the world when you're given all of these possibilities and so much choice of who to believe in a certain situation. Believe yourself. Believe what your gut reaction says.
There's truth in every individual human being.
Yeah,
that's why there's no like right truth, because every individual truth is a truth, and
I will say one thing fairly briefly about I've only told yourselves and whoever happens to be listening about my experience, because I don't like to tell a lot of people mainly because it is a sense of trust. You know, that's you choosing who to trust in the world, and a lot of the time you don't know if you can trust them with the information, and also you don't know if they can trust you, because it's kind of a ridiculous experience to talk about. And so I'm very happy knowing myself and letting the people who I believe to believe me know. Let anybody else stumble across it if they want, but you don't need to share everything about yourself constantly.
It's true. You know your truth. The only validation we can get from is from ourselves. It's the only validation that matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Richie, I shared a lot of people. I use your story. I'm like, oh shoot.
That's very okay. Well, at that point, it's your story. It's not mine to decide what to do with.
Oh, interesting. It's like, oh, I met this person, and it's a story out of what I took from my experience with you.
Yeah. Your story is you talking to me. It's not my experience. It's your experience, or it's our shared experience. But
yeah,
you tell as many people as you want.
Well, because
part of who you are now.
Because I told someone and they were like, well, I would have to know about other people that died for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, we don't need, it's not a theory. I'm not telling you a theory. I'm just telling you one person's experience, and it's true. This happened. And this, you know, it's like, yeah, that affects with some theories we have about time. It affects with theories we have about death. It affects a lot of other theories. But we can't, to construct a theory, we need a lot of other people's experiences.
What we're talking about here isn't a theory. It's an event, anomalous or not, that,
and it's like, yeah, it's like what theories come out when discussing this event, you know, and like what you're experiencing, and like,
yeah.
It's so interesting. Thank you for trusting us.
Thank you very much for listening and bringing me on. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for being on our podcast. It's just
my absolute pleasure.
I just want the world, you know, it's, you're very specific in who you tell, so thank you for trusting us and our platform for showing this information to people, because I, for me, this is really important to know in life.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah, spiritual education.
And what a better way from coming straight from you. It sounds fake when I'm like, oh, I know a person that died. It sounds different from me saying it. And it's been hard kind of tell your story through my mouth.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure you've done an excellent job, but I do understand it. There's another level when it comes from the horse's mouth, as it were.
Yeah. So I just wanted to go straight to the source. And then also the way you interpret emotions was really important for us too. I'm just really happy I met you at the time I met you in this chaos.
It was the right time.
Exactly.
Please like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe! Yeah, we always don't want to say that because it's like corny, but I guess it's true.
Ring that bell to get updated.
Yeah.